if you are a Buffalo Sabres fan, yesterday was a very, very bad day as the longtime voice Rick Jeanrette passed away. It's time to talk with a friend of Rick Jeanrette. Amid all the fun and excitement of hockey and all the developing that's going to go on around PNC Arena and a 20-year lease agreement, there was sadness in hockey last night as Rick Jeanrette, 81 years old, a 51-year career, the voice of the Buffalo Sabres, passed away yesterday. And I hate to bring in Chuck Caton in a sad time. We like to talk about happy things. But I know you knew Rick very well. He is one of those legends, as you are, sir, in the Hall of Fame, one of those legends of hockey broadcasting. So I'm sorry for your loss, because I know you guys were very good friends. Just your thoughts on the passing.
Well, first of all, I appreciate, Adam, you giving me this opportunity. Thank you for asking me to be on the show today, because Rick was a very special person, and I, of course, met him when I joined the Whalers in 1979. And from 81 to basically 92 or 93, we were in what was the old Adams division, mm-hmm. with the Sabres and the Whalers, and so I got to see a lot of Rick. And I'm very, very sad for his wife, Sandra, his three kids. Basically, I expressed those condolences in a tweet on behalf of the NHL Broadcasters Association, of which I'm still president. it really hit home with me. But, you know, I like to think about the good times, and one of those good times came last November. I believe it was the 3rd, when the Sabres actually had the, quote, audacity to have one of their watch parties at Buffalo Brothers on Lake Boone Trail. And they had Sabre dignitaries there, and Rick Jeanrette was one of them. And, boy, I admire him, because I surprised him by being there. And they had over 800 people there. They closed the restaurant. And they had Rick there signing autographs for 3 straight hours. And he was so gracious to all the fans that were like little kids in a candy store to meet him. And that's the kind of impact he had on Buffalo Sabre fans, and it was really heartwarming to see.
I know that there are a lot of Buffalo natives and natives of Western New York who live here. They had 800 people at a Buffalo Brothers?
Oh, my God, you couldn't believe this. They pre-sold tickets, Adam, for this event, and I got the word that Rick was going to be there around 5:30, so I got there about 5. I knew this was going to be a madhouse.
Wow.
So I tried to get a good parking spot. As you know, parking is very scarce at that location.
Absolutely.
I mean, you can't even imagine what it was like. But I got in there. I snuck in the front, and I was sitting there, and the PR lady who preceded Rick and the entourage. Now, Rick came along with Marty Biron.
Wow.
And other people. Rob Ray was there. So they had a whole contingent of not only broadcasters, but several retired Sabre players that people could meet. So it was quite an affair. And then when Rick came through the door and saw me, I will not use the expletive that he used. He said, "What the bleep are you doing here?" And I said, "Rick, I came to see you." And because obviously I haven't been around for a while, so... it was just so good to see him and the other guys, and to sit with him. He says, "Well, will you sit with me at the autograph table?" I said, "I'd be happy to." And we were talking in between signing. And he was so gracious to everybody that came, you know, signing pictures, signing jerseys, signing hats. And all these Sabre fans, you know, said the same thing to him. "I grew up listening to you." You know, the wonderful moments, the May Day, the... you know, he put it upstairs where Mama hides the cookies, and all the other great phrases. And of course, he coined the phrase, "They're going to overtime." I mean, but I've got a great story for you.
Sure.
Early days, Hartford Civic Center. We used to broadcast in the stands, so you had the lower level come up, then you had the broadcast tables, and I was 2 sections away from Rick one night. And in those days, certain broadcasters used to like to have alcoholic beverages during the game. And Rick was one of them. And I know he would not. He's looking down on us right now. He would not mind me telling this story.
Good.
So get this one. He's there. Somebody brings him a beer. He puts it on the table, and he's doing the game. And lo and behold, a fan who was sitting just under him reached up and grabbed that beer and stole it from him during the play-by-play. And here's Rick Jenneret. This is typical, and I'm going to try to do my best impression of him, okay?
Okay.
Here's Andrachuk over to Danny Gare. Gare hands it over, and somebody just stole my beer. And it was hilarious, and somebody taped it and played it, and it was the most hilarious thing. And he comes to me at the end of the game. He says, your fans are brutal. I said, what are you talking about? Somebody stole my beer during the middle of the game, but he didn't miss a beat on the air. He's talking about the game, and somebody stole my beer. It was hilarious.
I mean, that's one of the, he's painting the picture.
He was painting the picture, and he always did, and that's what I loved about Rick. I mean, he was just a delightful person to be around. Another thing we had was, you know, the Whalers weren't really a good team in the early 80s.
Right.
I mean, they made the playoffs in 80, my first year, but then they had a drought until the 85-86 season. So I was in the Memorial Auditorium one night, and Rick would come over, as broadcasters do. We compare notes, and he wanted to know about my lineup of the Whalers. And the Whalers, you know, were a good team. They were the first place in the Adams Division and doing a great job in 86-87. So I happened to make a snide comment to him. I said, well, we have our set lineup. There's no changes.
Hey, Carolina Panthers fans, Chris Lee and Dennis Cox here. We're excited to offer you all the inside information on your team with the newest member of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network, Panthers Playbook. Twice a week, we'll keep you updated on your Carolina Panthers. We're talking about locker room insight, exclusive interviews, and of course, in-depth looks at all of the Panthers' wins.
Touchdown, Carolina!
Panthers Playbook. Download and subscribe today at WRELSportsFan.com or wherever you discover your favorite podcasts.
Pack Therapy is back. It's Tim Donnelly here with your neighbor's favorite Wolfpack play caller, Mike Glennon.
Every episode of Pack Therapy is your chance to get dialed in with inside information on your team.
We'll set you up for every Wolfpack game all season long.
And we'll break down every contest, what went right, and what could have worked better.
Plus, special guests to keep Wolfpack hopes alive.
Follow Pack Therapy wherever you listen to podcasts or listen on WRALSportsFan.com.
Oh, set lineup. Okay. Well, he took that phrase from me and threw it in my face 15, 20 years later when we didn't have such a set lineup,
right,
especially in the early days with the Hurricanes before we made the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, how's your set lineup tonight? You know, he was just a fantastic. I mean, that's just so many things that I remember about Rick. And then there was the famous 06 playoffs, where obviously the Buffalo Sabres and the Carolina Hurricanes played in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yep.
So now who's outside? We're going to a game. We're playing the game in the, it was Marine Midland Arena, HSBC Arena, Holy Smokes Buffalo's Cold Arena, I used to call it. But so Rick Jenneret's outside leading a pep rally before the game.
Wow.
And that's how much he was admired and loved. I mean, he, and then Martin Gerber got into the act and played that fantastic game, you'll remember, that particular night. And we kind of burst Ricky's bubble. But this is how popular he was to the Sabre fans. It's incredible.
Well, I appreciate you sharing some stories with of the late Rick Jenneret. 51-year career, passed away yesterday at the age of 81. And, I mean, they don't make them like they used to. We say that about you. We say that about Rick. We say that about a bunch of voices of particular teams in the NHL. I thank you very much for your time. Condolences, because I know you feel like part of his family as well. And under happier circumstances, we will talk again, sir.
Boy, I'm very much appreciative, Adam. I was so happy when you contacted me about this because Rick meant a lot to the game of hockey. And, going into the broadcaster's wing of the Hall of Fame as he did 11 years ago was very well worth it to him. And it was just great to see him be lauded that way. And thank you for those comments, because anytime you can put me in the same breath as Rick Jeanneret, it is completely an honor. And just like to close by saying I'm very happy with what happened the other day. I listened to every minute of your show.
Thank you.
About what's going on with the Hurricanes and the development around PNC Arena, and I'm extremely ecstatic to hear that, and happy for all Hurricane fans as well.
Thank you very much, Chuck. I appreciate it. We will talk very soon.
Thank you, Adam.
Chuck Caton, Hall of Fame voice, formerly of the Carolina Hurricanes, now just a voice that just brings hockey to the mind. Look, there is a lot of cool stuff going on, not only on the ice with the Hurricanes, but around the arena as well.